And open your Bibles to Proverbs 26. How many of you already read Proverbs 26 today? Okay, good number of you. So I'm going to go ahead and read it, but this will be in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, so you can compare notes and things like that. And then we'll take a look at it. It says, like snow in summer and rain at harvest, honor is inappropriate for a fool. Like a flitting sparrow or a fluttering swallow, an undeserved curse goes nowhere. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and the rod for the back of fools. Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his foolishness, and he will become wise in his own eyes. Or he'll become wise. The one who sends a message by a fool's hand cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like lame legs that hang limp. Giving honor to a fool is like binding a stone in a sling. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a stick with thorns brandished by the hand of a drunkard. The one who hires a fool or who hires those passing by is like an archer who wounds everyone. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The slacker says, there's a lion in the road, a lion in the public square. A door turns on its hinges and a slacker on his bed. A slacker buries his hand in the bowl. He is too weary to bring it to his mouth. In his own eyes, a slacker is wiser than seven men who can answer sensibly. A person who is passing by and meddles in a quarrel that is not his is like one who grabs a dog by the ears, like a madman who throws flaming darts and deadly arrows. So is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Without wood, fire goes out. Without a gossip, conflict dies down. As charcoal for embers and wood for fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. A gossip's words are like choice food that go down to one's innermost being. Smooth lips with an evil heart are like glaze on an earthen vessel. A hateful person disguises himself with his speech and harbors deceit within. When he speaks graciously, don't believe him. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is concealed by deception, his evil will be revealed in the assembly. The one who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever rolls a stone, it'll come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth causes ruin. Let's pray. Father, as we come this evening, we once again thank you for an opportunity to look into your word. As we go through Proverbs 26, we would ask, Lord, that you might enlighten our eyes and give us grace to understand the things that are here so that we might understand the people that are around us and not participate in the sins that that they're characterized by, but, Lord, that we would be wise and honor you with our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, while we're starting, I'll pass the basket around. This is going to be for the Dempsey's Care Package, so if you're able to help, please do. Pass her along. If not, save it until you can. Okay, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's 19 different poems within Proverbs 26, and this first one, well, the first 12 verses actually talk about the fool. Now, there's others that talk about the fool, but the first 12, that's about the most consistent thing you're going to see in chapters 10 through 30, because how many of them have we gone through so far where there's 28 verses and there's 27 poems, each one hitting a different topic. But in the first one here, how common is snow in the summer? It has happened, even here in St. Louis, if I remember correctly, a lot of years back. I wasn't here for it, but I hear about it. When we were down in Brazil, you know, 50 weeks a year, it's like it has been this past week. High humidity, 95 to 105 degree temperatures. But one time in July, we had a little bit of a friaging. Friaging would be a cold spell. And it got down to, on normal days, about 60 degrees. And we walked around with short sleeves and shorts and said, thank you, Jesus. And Brazilians actually had to wrap blankets around themselves because they were so used to the heat. Some people would actually die when it got down to 60 degrees. But one day we were having a barbecue at our house, had a bunch of Brazilians over, and it started sleeting. What temperature does it have to be to sleet? What's that? Yeah, I don't know that it got that cold down here, but at least it did up there to the point where it was still ice when it was hitting the ground, then melting shortly thereafter. But that was in July. Can I say that we were not expecting sleet in July, though July would be their winter. But just it's contrary to nature, snow in the summertime. Or, if you will, rain in the harvest. You know, when it rains, we get a lot of rain in the fall. What are the farmers normally waiting on? They're hoping that they can get the crops out before the rain starts, but sometimes that rain starts a little bit early. And then they hope they can get in there and get it before, you know, it's worthless. Again, contrary to nature, and therefore that third part, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Unfortunately, in our society, do we honor fools? Let's consider some of the ways that we do that. Has anybody ever heard of the Kardashians? I only use them more because there's a celebrity with what purpose? Okay? I wouldn't want cameras at my house for any length of time to just watch us. I mean, that's kind of stupid. But you know, when you think of someone like Jeff Bridges or some of the older time actors, they at least have some skill. They've shown that over the years. But there's an awful lot of celebrity that they've really done nothing. They just had their 15 minutes, and sometimes it lasted a half an hour, and we don't like that. That's giving honor, if you will, to a fool. And some of them, they still have to open their mouth and tell us all how we should think about politics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Today was one of those days, if you keep track of anything that goes on in the public realm, where Sulu had to let us know what he thought about what the president was doing. Yeah, it does happen a lot, especially when we're divided by, not by common sense, but by just ideology. So it is contrary to nature to give honor to fools. We want to be careful that we're not doing the same thing within our society. Verse 2, like a flitting sparrow or a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. What do you think that means? What is a flitting sparrow and a flying swallow? Okay, there's going to be some quickness there. When I was up at down in Kentucky at the camp, I went out and watched Dan do the work that he does with the horses, get out there nice and early, and they're getting the horses all set up with the saddles and everything, and I was out in the barn with them, and they had barn swallows. How often do barn swallows land? They do, but normally they're just going all over the place. Well, that's the idea here. A flitting sparrow or a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. It's not going to land. Okay? One of the things that we need to consider when we talk about fear, especially when we're dealing with Satan or satanic influences and stuff like that, who's in control of all of that? God is. Satan can't do a thing to us without permission from God. And if God gives a permission, he's got a purpose. And so therefore, even if something like that were to happen, God's got a plan and a purpose. We ought to be looking at what God's trying to teach us rather than, oh, why is this happening to me, and things like that. But as far as those that might cast a curse or something like that, if we're living right, there's no cause for it to land on us. We don't have to worry about those things. A whip for the horse and a bridle for the donkey. In looking at a commentary today, they were saying, well, this is kind of backwards. A bridle's for the horse and a whip is for the donkey. Well, the reality is you can put a bridle on either one, and you can use a whip on either one. All they're saying is these kind of go together. And so that third part, a rod for a fool's back. Now, why do we use why does God talk about a rod for the fool's back? In Proverbs, it says that the blows to a fool's back teaches the simple. Doesn't even necessarily teach the fool. Now, God can intervene through that kind of a thing and bring that correction, but usually a fool has already started setting his path in concrete, and so it's actually so someone else might learn from it. Verses 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. If you'd like to, on verse 5, whether you write it down or whatever, Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4, Matthew 21, 24 through 27, this is where Jesus is answering the Pharisees according to their foolishness, lest they be wise in their own eyes. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4, and Matthew 21, 24 through 27. When you look at verse 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, and verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, does it not look like a contradiction? And you could lose if you're not doing what it says in each verse. Now, the first one, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. This would seem to indicate that there's a place where a fool is egging you on, and you get perturbed with him and answer him according to the foolishness that he has used. Well, then you end up being like him, being a fool. That's not the way we're supposed to answer. But at the same time, there is a place to answer a fool so that he's proven wrong, so that he doesn't think that he's right. I was talking to a guy in Sears many years ago when I worked there, and he was African-American, and he was telling me about the lost tribes of Israel that were from Africa, and thinking that somehow he had claim to Jewish heritage, even though he was African. Well, look, I mean, the book of Revelation, Jesus' hair was like a lamb's wool. Look at my hair. It's like lamb's wool. It's kind of like, wow. You just got to stretch it. And I explained to him the way it was. And I talked about the Ethiopian and how the gospel may have gotten down into Africa. And they may have been believers, but they weren't Jewish. They were believers. Yeah, it's in my pocket. I didn't do anything with it. but you know, he wasn't going to listen. He just wanted to keep on pushing it. And there's the managers right there. And I just turned around and said his name loud enough that they heard it. I said, that's enough. I'm not sure that I was in verse 5. I may have been in verse 4. But it is one of those things where we have to be careful how we're handling those situations. When we were down in Brazil, the kids being in a Wycliffe school, their teachers taught them, this is a contradiction in our thinking, but God's thinking is so much higher than ours that it's kind of like a round peg in a square hole. You can't really understand it, and therefore it's not a contradiction, even though it is. It's kind of like Rachel at the time raised her hand and said, no, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with timing. There's a time to answer a fool. There's a time not to. Because, of course, his foolishness, everybody will figure out that it's foolishness. So that's a good way to think about it. When we move on to verse 6, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. What do you think that means? It might never get there, or if it does get there, it'll be twisted. So you'll notice, cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. The word violence here is shamak. It means violence, wrong, unjust gain, cruel, cruelty, damage, false, injustice, unrighteousness. And if we were to look, in fact, turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs 10, verses 6 and 11. Verse 6 says, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Okay, and then verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Another one would be 16 and 29, which says, a violent man lures his neighbor, leading him in the way that is not good. In that particular one, I believe the word is lures. Now, why is that important? Well, I'm going to turn back to Psalm 11. Psalm 11 and verse 5. It says, the Lord examines the righteous and the wicked. He hates the lover of violence. Now, if you were to look at Proverbs 3:31, 4:17, 10:6 and 11, 13:2, 16:29. Most of the time, as it's talking about violence, it's talking about the violence that comes from the mouth. When we think of violence, we normally think of physical deed. And in this particular case, it's dealing more with falsehood, lies that come out of the mouth that are violent against those that hear it. So in this particular case, if you send the message by the hand of a fool, you're drinking violence. You're participating in falsehood, if you will. So like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Now that refers back up there to verse 1. It's not fitting for a fool to be honored, but when you're talking about binding a stone in a sling, not something we use a lot anymore, but the idea is that sling that David used to kill Goliath, put a stone in there, swings it around, lets go of one of the strings, and the stone flies out. Well, if you bind the stone in there, then what happens? It'll go out as far as the string will let it, and then it was going to come back. For every action, there's not equal and opposite reaction, and you never know. You might hit yourself in the head with that stone. So when you're talking about giving honor to a fool, it's like binding that stone in the sling. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. I thought that way the Holman said it here, a proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a stick with thorns brandished by the hand of a drunkard. Now, what do you think that picture looks like? See, it's one thing if you're drunk and you lean on a thorn, it goes in your hand, you go, oh, I wonder how that happened. But if you're brandishing the stick with thorns in it, who gets hurt? The drunk? No, everybody else. And so the proverb in the mouth of the fool is like that. It's not so much he gets a little bit of damage and doesn't know it. It's he's damaging other people. One of the ways to think about this is that people that know enough to be dangerous, especially when it comes to the Word of God, they know enough to be dangerous, but they really don't know the truth. Does God change from the Old Testament to the New? In the Old Testament, God is presented as a God of judgment, people look at him as being mean. I mean, he's killing through Israel. He's killing children and women and wow. And then he went to psychotherapy for a little while and the New Testament starts, and now we have this God of love who's gentle, and he understands, and it's really okay if you sin. That's how a lot of people see the Word of God, including, unfortunately, some people in the church. I know I struggled with that whole concept for several years when I was younger in Christ, because I was doing just enough to know that God could be angry at me, and I saw what he did in the Old Testament. It's kind of like, don't want none of that. Never really understood the concept of that loving Father until I grew up a bit. But, you know, you talk to people in this day and age. If you listen to 1120 KMOX, the guy that comes on after Rush, whenever they talk about the homosexual issue, he goes, and all you Christians out there, don't quote to me Leviticus. Because if you're going to quote to me the law of God, then tell me, do you eat shrimp? Do you eat clams? Do you eat lobster? You know, there's all kinds of other things that you do that are against the law, too. Kind of like, wow, this guy knows just enough to be dangerous. Now, he's supposedly conservative, libertarian, but he doesn't have a clue when it comes to what the truth is really like. So that's the proverb in the mouth of the fool is like that. Verse 10, the great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. Going back to the home in there, the one who hires a fool or who hires those passing by is like an archer who wounds everyone. In looking at the commentary, the Holman seems to have a little bit of a better translation. This idea of an archer who wounds everyone. He's just pulling the arrow and, you know, and letting them go. And he's not really concerned with where that arrow goes. He's going to end up wounding people that he shouldn't wound. Well, that's the same as the guy who hires a fool or hires whoever. You know, the work that's going to get done is not going to be done well. Most of you, if you've bought an old house and you've had to refurbish it in any way or shape or form, you know that if you're going to do it right, it's never the 20-minute job that it looks like, right? You take it apart and you start putting it back together. It's kind of like, this thing was never plumbed. It wasn't level. And if I'm going to do this right, so the next guy that works on it doesn't have to worry about it, we're going to have to fix things and then put on the outside and make it look good and stuff like that. So that's the meaning there. Verse 11. Yes. The one who hires a fool or who hires those passing by. In other words, we don't know if they know anything. We're just hiring them because they're a warm body. Is like an archer who wounds everyone. The God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. Yeah. Or, yeah, possibly. And again, in reading the Kylan Delitzsch, which gets into all the Hebrew and everything, this one seems to be closer translation to the Hebrew. And as far as the God who formed everything giving the fool his hire, well, that would be a common grace because even fools get jobs, you know. Okay, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. How many times have you gone through the same test, same trial, over and over again, and failed over and over again? Could that be because the rod didn't drive all of the foolishness out of our hearts, and so God continues to work on us? And what we really need to grab a hold of is, look, if I'm going through this again, what's God trying to teach me? Instead of, I'm just going to continue to repeat the mistake. You know, I've told you stories about Lynn and I and how we fought over the years. Her complaints about me were always legitimate. Everything she said was right on. But she didn't appreciate how much I did for her. And she had some problems too. And so therefore, I really didn't have to change. She needed to change. No one's ever played that game before. No. the reality is when I took responsibility for my monkeys, as my wife likes to call them, and submitted myself to God and started working on those areas, my wife started changing in all the areas that I had been complaining about for years. I never talked to her about them. I just started dealing with me. And so we can talk about the fool that repeats his folly, but we do the same kind of thing. Verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now, why would he say there's more hope for a fool? That would seem to indicate under normal circumstances, how much hope does a fool have? Now, a fool is not beyond the point of no return, but he's getting close. Remember, you start out as the simple, you're bound toward, you're bound up with foolishness, and you choose foolishly many times. And if God doesn't intervene, you're leaning towards, you're twisted towards foolishness. You'll choose foolishness, choose foolishness, choose foolishness, and then you become a fool. And if you stay on that path, you're going to become a mocker, a scorner. When you hit that point, no coming back. But a full-blown fool is close. The guy who is a scoffer or a scorner, he's the one that's wise in his own eyes. He thinks more highly of himself than he ought to, Romans chapter 12. In Revelation 3:17, that's the Laodicean church. They thought that they were rich, and they thought they could see, and they thought they had nice clothing, and Jesus said, you're blind and you're poor. So they thought more highly of themselves than they should. There's more hope for a fool than for that guy. And then, so if you look at your notes for tonight, you'll see question letter A there. Which verses deal with the contrast? Well, it shouldn't say contrast. Deal with the fool. And you can say verses 1 through 12. They all deal with the fool. And you can consider what we learn about the fool from these verses. And then we move on to 13 through 16. The lazy man says, there's a lion in the road and a fierce lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in a bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. A lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Oops, what a terrible way to end that little section, because we just talked about the guy that was wise in his own eyes. But we see, first of all, what's this about the lion in the road and the lion in the street? There's a good excuse not to go out and do anything. I can use it about once every 3 days off. My wife even uses it to tell me that's what I'm doing. it's a way of not doing anything. And then you've got the door turning on its hinges. So you open that door, close that door, open that door, close that door. That's the same thing as the lazy man on his bed. And then, of course, the lazy man, he's gone down to the bowl to grab some food, and he's so lazy, he doesn't even bring it back up to his own mouth. I'm tired. I need a break. And then, of course, verse 16, he's wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So the lazy man's going to fit into this guy, this lack of common sense area. He's going to be able to excuse why he doesn't have to do what everybody else has to do. He's going to give you all the good reasons why you need to help him. If you ever want to experience some of the lazy man, visit me on Thursdays when we have benevolence. Now, again, they're believing lies. The government's told them those lies. The electric companies told them those lies. Their mothers and fathers have told them those lies. But very often, a lot of those people, it's nothing more than laziness. Verse 17, he who passes by and meddles in the quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. And I remember pastor teaching this verse several years back. If you like dogs or if you have a dog, you can do this and get away with it. The idea is you're messing with two people that are fighting. They're arguing about something. What happens if you grab a dog by its ears? Well, yeah, if you let go of either one of them, he's biting whatever one. You let go of both, he's going to get one of your arms. And the reality is when you get involved in a conflict that is not yours. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be a mediator. But boy, you really got to tread lightly when you're stepping into that, because you're the one that's going to be the bad guy in the end. That's just the way it works. And then verse 18, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. In the commentary that I was using, this guy is basically crazy. Okay? He's nuts. First of all, who's he deceiving? Well, it says that he's deceiving his neighbor. But here's the description of his deception. A madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. These are basically three forms of dying, okay? But he's deceiving his neighbor, and he says, I was only joking. Kind of like, you just can't do that. Now, we use that, I was just joking, a lot of times. I don't know that we're necessarily deceiving someone all the time when we do it, but we want to be careful that we're not picking up the phrases of the culture and not understanding some of what might actually be going on behind the scenes there. Verses 20 through 20. Yes, Sheila.
Oftentimes that I was only joking, that was after the 18, the person has said something kind of naughty or nasty about somebody or to somebody and then turns around.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's still what was said is derogatory or defaming.
Yes. Someone else said something? Right. They may actually think what they've said, but the way they get away from it is, I was only joking. So we want to be careful that we're not taken into that culture. Okay, verses 20 through 22. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. So what do you know? Well, there you go. And sometimes you're going to hear people in the church fueling the fire. Do you have to let the fire burn? In fact, there may be a place to correct the one that is gossiping, tale-bearing. When it comes to leadership, you know, we're speaking on 1 Timothy qualifications of an elder presently on Sunday nights, but boy, it's easy to complain and say stuff about the leadership. We want to be careful, okay? Because first of all, ask Leon, who's all complaining against? Yeah. And remember, and I felt very convicted when Obama was president, but it doesn't matter who the guy is, what position he's holding. If he is in some form of authority over you, that's the one that God put there. That would include Obama. That would include Trump. We want to be careful. Do we know everything that goes on in the closed door meetings between whoever and whoever? No, we don't. So all we get to see and hear is what the media tells us. And if you're listening to talk radio, the right-wing media, quote-unquote, they don't know much more than we do. But they're telling us stuff. It's kind of like, how much of this is actually true? We want to be careful there. It goes on to say, as charcoal is a burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. It wasn't too long ago that Pastor was about ready to let someone know that they were being contentious, they were kindling strife, they were causing division, and if they didn't stop it, there was going to be some consequences that went with that. They left. There are times when we don't mind when people leave because they're causing problems. Now, do we want them to leave? No. We'd prefer they dealt with the issues, that they learn from God's hand what's going on instead of kindling strife. And then, of course, 22, the words of a talebearer, which goes back up to verse 20 there, are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Let me just look here. I've got a verse 18 and verse 8. I think it says the same thing. A gossip's words are like choice food that go down into one's inmost being. Now, think about it with me for a minute. The tales or gossip, let's talk about Larry, okay? Larry is a brother in Christ. What's our responsibility to him? To love him. When you're gossiping or listening to gossip, if you will, that's the height of hypocrisy. In the sense that you got two rules, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, and you're not doing that. You're enjoying hearing about someone else's problems, failures. So that's the idea there. Moving on to verse 23, fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. Now, what does earthenware look like? Clay pots. What do you think it looks like if it's covered with silver dross? Nasty. there's going to be some shine to it. Now, think about it. Silver dross. We're not even talking about silver. We're talking about the waste that boils up to the top, and they skim that off, and then they make fine jewelry or plates or whatever with that purified silver. The silver dross is going to have some shiny to it, but it's going to have some black streaks to it and stuff like that. But that put on earthenware makes earthenware look nice, but it's still just earthenware. So the contrast here, if you will, is fervent lips. Now, when we think of fervency, thinking about what? Urgent, or if you will, passionate, okay? But where's that coming from? A wicked heart, okay? Yeah. Right, and that's what it's saying. It's not saying if you're passionate about Christ and you're wanting to tell people about, no, it's not talking about that. It's talking about the wicked heart, and they sound good, but they're actually like earthenware with silver dross. They may sound good, but if it's a wicked heart that's behind that, it's worthless clay with something pretty painted on it. And then, of course, it goes on, he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. The word disguise here is to scrutinize, to look intently at, to acknowledge, be acquainted with, to care for, respect, revere. So he who hates disguises it. He is contemplating how he can cover it up. This is an intentional thing. But he lays up deceit within himself. He's taking the time to actually think about what's going on. We're going to continue talking about him, verse 25, 26. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. See, the terrible thing is when we hide things in our heart and we hide them from other people, ultimately it reveals itself. Again, I hate bringing up the past, but remember when I used to say, hey guys, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, scum of the earth sinners, okay? Some felt as though I was trying to knock people down. In a way, maybe. Here's how it was. In seeing people in the church that are saying, hey guys, Sunday morning, I've got to put on the air of everything's wonderful. But in reality, I haven't been in the Bible all week long. My wife and I were fighting on the way to church. Now, how could I spot any of this stuff? Hey, played the game, know the tricks. And when you're self-righteous, ultimately, your life's going to fall apart. Because without him, we can do nothing. And we can only hide what's really true about us for just so long. And so, in this particular case, though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Ultimately, it's going to be known. Verse 27, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. The whole idea And chapter 28, verse 10 says, something similar. The one who leads the upright into an evil way will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit what is good. If the person's digging a pit, well, ultimately, it's going to come back and bite them. And then verse 28, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. The idea of a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. When people lie, they're hating. And then the flattering mouth works ruin. Flattery. We don't use that as Christians. Oh, you'd be surprised. We want to be careful. Again, and you can look up flattery in Proverbs, and you're going to see it. It's hiding a heart of deceit. They're looking to get something from you. They're not really telling you the truth about what they think. So we want to be careful that we're not participating. Which verses deal with speech? You got the lazy. You can put verses 13 through 16. And going on to speech, we have 22, the words of a talebearer. Fervent lips, 23. Disguises it with his lips, 24. 25, he speaks kindly. 26, his hatred is covered by deceit. And 28, the lying tongue. There you go. And 18 and 19, well, especially 19, he's deceiving his neighbor and then saying. And then, of course, letter D, I have deceit in here because as you read through it, you'll find at least a couple of times when it talks about deceit. Once again, let me see if I can find them real quick. Yeah, the talebearer. He may actually be telling the truth, but he's definitely not living right. Okay. All right. Well, that's chapter 26. So let's go ahead and spend a little bit of time in prayer, and I will close this in a couple of minutes.